The City of Angels is black and gold. You are listening to the Heart of LAFC podcast. And now, Joseph Zacher.
Greetings, Los Angeles. Welcome to episode 400 of the Heart of LAFC podcast. Only fitting that the entire squad is here. That's right. You've got me. You've got Bam. You've got Araceli. And you've got Tony on the road doing it, making it happen. Yep, that's right. We're here for the big 400. We're also here to prepare for another battle with Carson on the weekend. And let's be honest, celebrate a good run of form from the boys in the lead up to this. So yeah, we got a lot to cover today. We're going to make it happen. I think for me, just to kick things off, thank you everybody that supported us over the years. It just keeps going and going. From past hosts to current hosts, it's been good. It's been fun. And it's been one hell of a journey to see where LAFC is now, as opposed to when we were getting this thing started way back in the day before we even had a player on the team. Yeah. Good journey. That's for sure. All right. That being said, I know we got a lot to cover, so we're going to jump right into it. I'll go to you, Tony. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm on the road for right now. I'll be back in Los Angeles in the morning. So just excited for the game and excited for what's to come and everything that's been going on in the LAFC world.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Araceli also coming in late tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I almost feel like I'm switching places with Tony in a sense that I'm going on the road tomorrow. Well, later today at this rate, going down to Austin for the All-Star game. So really excited to see everyone, of course. But at the same time, it's just been a long week of planning. I'll just leave it at that.
There we are. And then there's Bam already sitting in tomorrow. How are you doing?
Going well. Again, going off what you said, 400 episodes. It's been amazing. Thank you to everyone that's hosted before me, that will come host after me. I'm not going anywhere soon. I've got another 600 in me at least. Thank you to everyone that watches. Thank you to everyone that comes, hangs out with us. I was going to throw up a little photo, but Tony would kill me, so I'm not going to do that. But
photo,
yeah.
Photo.
Don't do it.
Do it.
Might do it later. We'll see. But yeah, no, it's been a week. Looking forward to the game tomorrow. It's going to be an intense game, to say the least. But before we get into that, let's get into the last game.
Yeah, definitely. I just realized 400 episodes and we're from four different time zones today. It's a unique one. Definitely. Quite literally. So let's get into it. Speaking of another time zone, yes, the boys went off to Minnesota to take on a team that, let's be honest, was challenging for first place, still are challenging for first place. The hot hand, that's for certain. And as we mentioned to you guys, this was going to be a challenge. It was going to be a tough one and a grinder, let's be honest. And guess what? The guys took that to heart, right? Went into it, had to come up with a modified lineup, got that 1-0 win on a Denny Bwanga penalty. But that wasn't all it was about, right? Our lineup, again, really shifted it. Had to play a 3-4-3 this time with certain people being out. Lloris was in goal. In this case, Tafari, Segura, and Palencia played the roles of a three-man center back. Yeah, right? Hollingshead and Smolikov played the role of wingback midfield. Yep, a little different. And Tillman and Delgado held it down in the midfield. Up top, Obobese was your center forward with Dillerson and Bwanga on the outs. Yeah, different. Had to do something special, something we're not used to seeing against a team that is very well organized at home. Also going into this, of course, we had won no games in that place. We haven't had results there. So you add to that fun. Looking on the other side with their lineup, guess what? They were ready. They had their guys. Sinclair was in goal. Boxall, Harvey, Romero were holding it down as their center backs. Longwane and Markinich were their outside wing backs. Trapp, Lode, Perea, holding it down in midfield and up top, of course, Luisi and Yeboah. Yeah, they're a lineup, no doubt. No one missing. Ready to go, and things kick off. Tony, this is where I hand it over to you, sir. What are our highlights for this game?
Pretty much the highlight is, like, honestly, the penalty kick that ended up winning the game in the 42nd minute, but, like, probably 5 minutes earlier, where the defender fouling Ibobese in the box, which was a weird one because I didn't know. I don't know how you guys. It was a weird, like, are they going to VAR it? Is it a penalty? Like, this whole conversation, we didn't know until the yellow card, and he points to the spot where it was the penalty kick, and that puts up 1-0. But go for it, Jeff.
Yeah, it was a little different, but I think all he did was consult with the linesman. It's just, it seemed the assistant referee was the one that was kind of there. Mm-hmm. AR comes in, and that was that fast. Of course, there was a check, because there always is. He took him down. If he doesn't do that, we get a goal anyway, right? He's beat on the play, and he comes across, makes it happen. I thought it made perfect sense. I wouldn't complain too much about that one, right? We'll take the lead, and of course, Bouanga comes in. I know recent penalties have been a little scary, but this one, no question, right? Took care of business. We take the lead. Perfect timing, too, right towards halftime. Hard to come back from that, Tony, right? I mean,
no.
First half, your thoughts on the first half?
First half, I finally felt like we actually had a identity. Like, the ball was moving very well, and, like, with somewhat precision, of course, there's still some room for improvement of everything. But honestly, there was some purpose to passes, and, like, the flow was everything. And again, as you guys heard me on One More Sleep with Defenders, I put Segura as my person to watch, and he showed up, like, everything we needed him to do because of Long's absence. He was the veteran, the person in the back that would take over, and that's what he did. It was a stellar performance by him, and, you know, all kudos and praise to him.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he took the mission, but the others did too, right? Tafari and Palencia had to play kind of out of position, out of their ordinary setup, and both of them rose to the occasion. There were several moments in this game where Palencia could have got stuck in, could have got that yellow card, could have got into trouble. He didn't get into it. He just did the job. He was effective. He was a little rough on the plays like he always is, but smart. So it worked. It actually worked. They extended the shutout streak. So good on them for that. Going into that second half, kind of more of the same, right, Tony?
Yeah, there's a lot more chances on both ends. Near the end of the half, though, let's just say it, like, unfortunately, Bouanga couldn't finish. He had two golden opportunities to put this game away. One with a chip that went wide, and then one-on-one with the keeper where the keeper just, you know, plays a really good ball and, like, predicts it right. It's just not enough room for it from Bouanga. But overall, like, the movement between the players, and also shout out to Lloris, again, keeping this ahead of the game, because if it wasn't for him, there's a couple balls that probably go in. And then, of course, Sinclair, even though that goal goes in for the penalty kick, he was doing really well to keep Minnesota in the game.
Yeah, you can't really fault him on any of this. He was in the mix. He's always trouble for us anyway. And he made some huge saves for them in this, right? Very aggressive in his approach, which he usually can be. But for us, again, finishing is always going to be a story, but also transcreation as well. And we did just enough to get by. Their end, of course, a lot of frustration towards the end of that match, which is expected. They thought they were going to get more out of it, and they just opened a door for us. Having three games in hand, you're now in striking distance to take first place if you can make a run out of this thing. And I think that's the big picture here. Bam, your thoughts, one, on the result, and how can they build off of this?
Oh, the result's always good. Having a shutout, but also getting the 3 points is always deserving and always what we want to go for. For me, the biggest standout for the match, though, was over the whole match, we only had 7 shots.
Yeah.
6 were on target. That's the on-target rate. It's amazing. While they had 10 shots, only 3 on target. So you're breaking that down, especially the first half with 4 shots, 4 on target. that's what we need to keep going. That's what is going to keep us pushing forward, getting more goals. If you're not having shots on target, then no point shooting. So for me, the biggest takeaway and the thing we've got to keep on is the shots to shots on target ratio, which for me, 7 shots, 6 on target is perfect.
Yeah, it's one of the most efficient, you could say, for us. In their case, I think a lot of it was our guys blocking their opportunities as well to Brandon from even getting through. So, again, good on the guys for making the necessary sacrifice to get the job done. Be proud of this result. But, again, it's a stepping stone to the next match because that one is massive. There's so much on the line for that one. Again, taking on your rival at home, being able to even up the season, the all-time series. And again, we're making up distance here. We've got those 3 games in hand. So every time you get that result, it adds pressure. And the teams ahead of you, I believe, have to play this weekend. So that helps too. Araceli, your thoughts on the current state of LAFC? Does it feel like now an eternity ago for that Club World Cup? Like we've moved on now?
Definitely. It feels like some time has passed between the Club World Cup, even from the beginning of the season, let's be honest, and seeing the boys that they're now on a 3-game winning streak only, you know, boost that morale a bit more. And hopefully they can continue that path going forward, especially into this weekend's match. Because let's be real, that's going to be the biggest one out of these string of games.
The hardest challenge. Again, their form is what it is, but a rivalry is always going to trump whatever the records are. Does not matter. The rivalry is there. So, yes, you have form going into this. They kind of have a little bit going into it, better than they were before. But, yeah, it's all about that. So, that being said, if you look at the standings and see where we're at, again, 3 games in hand. San Diego's got 42 points. We're at 35 points. See, striking distance. Goal difference-wise is pretty cool. We're at plus 12. 3 games in hand, they're at plus 15. And, yeah, they've got a harder game on the weekend by far. So, yeah, the chances are here. We can build on this. We can make it happen. It's good to see. Now, on top of that going on, of course, LAFC2 does have a big game this weekend. But we're leading into our own big game, right, Araceli? What's going on with LAFC2?
Well, LAFC2, like you said, they have their own big matchup this weekend. The boys will drive up to Thousand Oaks this Sunday to face Ventura County for their 3rd and final meeting of the regular season. It's a 7:00 kickoff. The game will be on Apple TV. And as we know, LAFC2 hasn't really fared well this season, just to be blunt. However, with this past win under their belt, hopefully it can kind of boost their confidence going into this. But given Ventura's track record this season, it will be a tough match. I believe Ventura is in 4th or 5th place. At one point, they were leading the West.
Yeah, so not easy. Not easy for the boys. That's for sure. And again, lineup's a little thinner than normal with certain injuries, so that also affects things too. Okay, good luck to the boys. Hope they do their part. Hope we get our part done in the main house too. But hey, again, they don't have a lot of games left, right, Araceli?
No, they don't.
Yeah. It's playoffs are kind of slim at this stage, or is there still a chance?
I want to say, looking at the standings, there is a very slim chance, considering they are tightening up, especially towards the playoff spots themselves. But they're going to need to make a drastic change. We're already at the end of July, and as we know, playoffs begin in October. So that is a tall order for them.
There it is. So, yes, not mission impossible, but mission difficult. So there it is. Thank you, Araceli. All right. I do see some comments from the faithful. I know I get you guys a little bit earlier, but it's episode 400. Let's see what we have to say here. There's a couple. I see a couple. We've got the fake Denny Buonga account. Says, shout out Tony and Defenders of the Bank. Happy 400th episode. Yeah, that was cool, man. Good work on that. And all love to the boys over there. Scarf sent me a message as well, wishing us the best for episode 400. Again, Keep it up, boys. The pod community has always been tight. So, yeah, it's good. And then Cream Blue also talking about Bwanga to America. I think if you want to talk about that, just listen to what Bwanga said in the presser today. It's football, right? Que sera, sera is what he said. So if it happens, it happens, right? But no one's focusing on that because there's a big game this weekend. And he also said he treats it like a cup final whenever he plays these guys. And that should be the focus at the end of all of this. So there you go. All right, guys, if you have any more comments, definitely throw them out there. We'll get to you in a little bit. Again, the more on, the better. Let's see. Speaking of the next stage and talking about Los Angeles, I know we've got a little bit of community news, and I think this community news actually leads us also into the Black and Gold Vinyl Club Minute. So I'm going to throw it over to you, Tony. What's going on in the community, sir?
So first off, of course, I'll start off before we get to that. Tailgates tomorrow. So be prepared to drink responsibly and a lot hydrate. I don't know what the weather is like that over there, so I'm still guessing it's kind of hot. So make sure you're hydrated and everything. But leading into that, pretty much as you all know and you all saw, there is a new anthem for LAFC built pretty much by the Black Eyed Peas, Will I Am, and forget his name at the moment. Great video if you want to watch it, and with a great message at the end. And that leads to pretty much the album of the week, which, go for it, Joseph.
Yeah, so Will I Am, a song titled East LA, celebrating, again, LA's East LA culture, Hispanic culture, Latino culture. It's cool. It's different. The beat is awesome. But again, it's celebrating our community. And you know how diverse our community is. So we've got an anthem out there. Again, another hit for LAFC, featuring an important community in our city. So I love it. I think it's great. Of course, Tony, there was a little bit of a celebration connected to it tonight, right?
Yes. Something that I had to keep under wraps for most of the week. And as you know, if you are part of a supporter group, you saw the flyer going around, but we had a rally out there with Will I Am there as well, you know, supporting the boys and everything. So if you're out there, it looked like fun. I wish I could have joined. But, you know, sometimes other things come impressive. But again, I'd rather be there to support the boys and do whatever I can for the community.
Yeah, it looked great. Love the smoke. Love the fireworks. Love all the noise. Beautiful singing and all. And Will I Am was right in the middle of that. So good on you guys for making it happen tonight. Again, I think we all wish we could be there. Just didn't work out for us. Family needs, of course, are the most pressing thing. So yeah, we'll be there when we be there. Y'all know that 99% of the time we are. So yeah. Bam, what are your thoughts on the song, sir?
For me, it came out of a bit of nowhere. I was happily surprised it is. Also, good seeing Taboo on there with him. So having two members of the Black Eyed Peas is what I enjoy the most. It showcases one of my favorite parts of LA, without a doubt. You know, whenever I come over, always like trying to go see new parts of LA that I haven't seen before. Like, for example, it wasn't till 2019... trip over, I finally went to Santa Monica Pier. I'd never been there before in the 7 years before that I'd been there. But it's always cool. It showcases what, to me, LA is about, the whole culture diversity. And the message is a really strong message, especially for what's happening at the moment over there.
Yeah. And then the message, so check out the video when you can. William has a really important message at the end that you definitely want to listen to. Not going to play spoiler on this. We want you to listen to it. So again, watch it until the end. It's again, critically important, especially during these times. And I hope he'll be at the stadium tomorrow. I think it'll be really cool if he makes it out, to encourage the boys and the 3252 and everyone else along. It's on, guys, for sure. Community in full tilt. All right. So that being said, and talking about a vast difference in cultures and all that, that's right. We got to play Carson this weekend. It's on. It's real. It's happening, with a chance to even up the all-time series. That's right. We've got 9 wins. They've got 10 wins. this is our chance to get to that 10th win, even things up, and push forward at the end of the day. Now, what's been going on in the land of Carson? Not all is well in the land of Carson. Yes, they're coming off of a cup win, but there's a lot negative going on with that organization, as we have protests from their supporters who are not going to be at the game this weekend. They've made that official statement. They've been boycotting multiple games, having multiple protests related to ICE and everything going on in their club, just deciding to turtle, basically, not make any statement, not show any support for the community, ignore the community. I guess good for the money, but not good for the people, huh? And as a result, this is what I think for me pushes it over the top. Not only did they ignore their own, but now they've banned their own for actually protesting in the stadium. Not being violent, not shooting off fireworks, simply stating an opinion. And a true opinion. And now they have this. So not only is it hard on the field for them, but it's also even worse off of the field. Again, in this moment and what they're going through, we definitely stand with their supporters in trying to protect the community. It's just very, very unfortunate to see where they're at right now at this club. I don't expect any improvement from that organization. They've always kind of been this way, but you hope for the better. That's for sure. You want to see things healthy again and get them back to the stands, whether they're rivals or not. For the sake of the community, for the sake of football, you hope it gets figured out and quick. I think I can leave it at that. Do you want to add anything else, Tony?
The only thing I would add is, like, it's going to be it's a weird statement for me to say, because it's like, because of the rivalry and stuff like that, I stand with Victoria Block and what they're doing and the protests of everything, because rivalries extend to so much. But when it's community in your city, again, we all have to stay united no matter what we do. So I stand with what they're doing, and just, you know, good on them for making the stand and continuing to make a stand. You know, fortunate for us, we have a ownership that cares about the community and is willing to hear us out before doing anything. So shout out to them. But after all, like, you know, rivalry aside, it's, you know, we still have to enjoy this beautiful city that we have together.
Yeah. I mean, again, supporters are scattered throughout Southern California, throughout the world, to be honest. And again, if you see suffering in the city, you can't ignore it. It's too much. It's too much. So that is happening. But then on the field, again, more chaos. Of course, they've had probably the worst season I've ever seen for them, probably for any club, right? Right now, their record is a dismal 3-6-14 with 15 total points. Yes, in the last five games, they've managed two wins, which is big for them in this season. But they're almost out already. Yes, they can make a run and might get back in, but it would be the most unbelievable run in the history of the league, right? No one would have ever done that. It would have been a first, right, to get back into the mix. So that's where they're at. So on the field, it's tough. Off the field, it's tough. Well, at the same time, LAFC, after a brutal exit from the Club World Cup, has found their footing very quickly, right? Getting right back into it. There's rumors of plenty of people coming in, people going. Activity, you would say. So where's the life? It's kind of with our organization right now. That's the story. What does that mean when they play in the game? Absolutely nothing, right? Rivalry kicks in. It doesn't matter. 90 minutes, everybody's going to do everything they possibly can. Now, what's happened to them recently? Well, they did lose to Austin FC at home. 2-1 loss. Frustrating one for them. That is for sure. I think they're expecting to get more of it. They did end up getting a penalty late, right, to get back into it. But otherwise, yeah, it wasn't looking great for them on the day. Now, in terms of who's standing out for them, well, in this last match, I think they went with a 4-3-3. Up top was Painsil, Nascimento, and Gabriel Peck. So, yes, two of their creative guys are back. Surreal, Royce, and Fagundes were their midfielders on the day, with Jorgensen and Yoshida holding it down in the back, Yamane and Aude on their outside backs. Mikovic was in goal this time instead of a familiar face. Yeah, that was their last lineup. In terms of who's been performing for them, well, it's the Marco Royce show. As healthy as he can be, 17 games played, 5 goals, 7 assists. So he's still there getting the work done. Probably better than I think even he's expected at this stage. But again, it's Marco Royce. He shows up in big games. He steps up in big moments. That's who he is. So he's taking it upon himself. Who else has shown up? Gabriel Peck, 20 games played, 3 assists so far. Painsil, again, he's back. He's only played 16 games. He's got 4 goals. And yeah, it's kind of a hard drop, right? Ramirez has 4. Fagundes has 4. Yeah, nobody's really taking over this thing. They're kind of waiting for their star to come back, who's not due back till end of August, mid-August maybe. I see he's moving around. He's training, but he's not scheduled to come for this game. So again, they're in flux. They're having some issues. They showed a little bit of signs of life, and then this last game they kind of got clipped, right? And so they need to find their way back into it. I'm going to you, Bam, on this one. Yeah, I know we're seeing where they're at. It is a wounded animal. How concerned are you for this match?
Always concerned. Going to this type of match, no matter if they're top, we're bottom, we're top, they're bottom, it doesn't matter. This is not just a football match. This is about pride of the city, ownership of the city, and it's also the bragging rights until the next game, especially coming off into it going, yes, they're a wounded animal. Yes, their run lately has been okay. You know, 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw in the last 5 games. You can never go in thinking this would be an easy game, plain and simple. They have some great talent on the field. They're only missing one player at the moment through injury. So I'm always worried about this game, plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. The last time we faced them, they were on a 16-game winless streak, and they still managed to get a draw against us, one that we should have taken. So, again, they step up for this game. Certain players in this team will always step up in big games. So that's going to be the big concern. Now, like I said, in terms of injury, they only have one listed. We have a lot more listed, so that's something that could concern us as well. Yeah, it's tough. Now, looking how they play again, 4-3-3 was one lineup I've seen. I've also seen the 4-2-3-1 with similar faces. The game before, I think they had Garces and Yoshida as their center backs, with Mikovic back in goal, Yamane out on the outs. Sario, Fagundes were holding midfielders, Royce playmaker, Gabriel Peck, Painsil is outside mids, of course, with Nascimento as the target man. Again, a lot of the same faces, just another approach. So, yeah, the center back situation, I guess, is the only thing that was shuffling. I expect something similar, guys. I think that's what it's going to be. How are they going to play the game? Well, I think they're always going to be that team that's going to try to ping the ball around, hold the possession as best they can, and get back at you. We're LAFC, though, and our form suggests that we'll be just fine if they try that, right? And so we could match up into our advantage by playing that setup. Araceli, I'm going over to you on this. You've seen the Carson struggles this year, but you've also seen a few games where they've actually looked pretty decent. What should we expect from him in this match?
I mean, when it comes to Carson, we've kind of already know what tricks they kind of have up their sleeves. But I mean, just looking into it, just as long as we can, you know, get him on the counters and play defense as well as we can, should hope for a good result because just like how I mentioned, even with Colorado a few weeks ago, even though on paper the Galaxy doesn't look like they're doing well, you still can't underestimate them. Even you pointed out, we still ended in a draw the last time we met with them. So I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at our roster right now and I'm trying to figure out, you know, even our players of who's available. Because didn't Segura get carded in Minnesota?
Yeah, he did get carded. Did that put him on suspension?
I don't believe so.
No,
but...
I think so. No.
Yeah, the only guy at risk was Palencia, I believe. So
yeah,
okay,
that was it. Of course,
and looking by it too, is he must have had enough time between yellow cards. He's not listed as a caution accumulation warning. He's been taken off that list, so we've only got one player on that list now, which is Hollingshead.
Ah, and I'd kind of expect a yellow card for him in this match.
Yeah, and going by it too.
Yeah,
we've got four players that are out injured with Chenault, Deville, Long, and Raposo.
Yeah, and the Long situation is horrible. I mean, it is a ruptured Achilles again. Not the first time he's dealt with this. At his age, it's a long recovery. It's at least a year out. In his absence, because he is our captain, Lloris has taken over the role as captain. He actually spoke about it today as well in the presser about taking on the role, and they were asking him, like, did you want it, or, you know, where do you feel? And he basically said for him that the armband comes naturally. He doesn't seek it, but in his position where he's been in the past, it's come to him anyways. And as a goalkeeper, those who have played, they know you're kind of a captain in a way, right? You're always going to be out there yelling at people and keeping things organized, and a lot of times being the calming influence or the guy that's pumping them up. So it's just natural he'd be the guy that would take it. He has years of experience with it, including winning a World Cup. So not too bad in terms of leadership to have a guy take over and do what he's doing. So yeah, again, and lately it's been strong for him too. So yeah, he's into it. He had a lot of cool things to say about 3252 and the faithful as well. So check out what he had to say, guys. That being said, knowing how we have so many players out, our lineup is a big question mark. Are we going to repeat what we did against Minnesota? Are we going to look for something a little more traditional from our side? That's a hard question, and that's where we come in, and we want to answer that for you. So in goal, we already know it's Lloris. The backline situation, are we going three center backs? Are we sticking with two and going four wide normal again? Hard question to ask. I'm going to go to you, Tony, first. What's it looking like for your back line this week?
I think we just do what we did last game. It seemed to be working for us. There's a lot more creativeness and then also people standing out and taking opportunities that I think usually were passed upon because of the old system.
Ah, so that shift where you're going to have both Hollingshead and Plenty on the same side thing, we're going that way? Ah,
it works. Honestly, it seems like it works because it's like they both want to push and the pressure on both of them. So usually you have to like watch one on one side, the other one on the other side. But when you have both, you kind of have to be on the lookout for which one will be pushing and which one we want. And you have to kind of take a guess of who will drop back and who won't.
Oh, I mean, yeah, and that would also overload Aude and Yoshida if we do that, right, with guys that are capable of coming forward and throwing that attack. Could be interesting. Bam, your thoughts on the back line? Do you see anything different, or do you think we're going back to 4-3-3?
I've got a feeling we'll go back to the 4-3-3 with Segura and Tafari in the center, Plencia and Hollingshead out wide. I would like to see us with the 3-4-3 because – as Tony was saying, there's a lot more creativeness. There's a lot more fun and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know if you do the 3-4-3, does that mean Igor Zezu sits again?
Yeah, and I felt the reason he sat was for rest, right? That we know he's usually the guy in the lineup, and we know what he adds to the lineup. I felt he was sacrificed for the sake of rest and also approaching Minnesota. Aracel, your thoughts on backline as well? Are you looking 4-3-3 or 3-4-3?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes back to the traditional 4-3-3, but looking at how they played in Minnesota, I would much prefer this formation over that.
And I got to say, Smolikov as well is another face that he's just getting better with every game. Every darn game, he just gets stronger and stronger, more confident, looking the part, really looking the part. sacrificing himself as necessary. Tony, he's nodding along with me. I think you want to add in to this, right? I mean, Smolikov, he's looking good now.
He's been looking good since like what, three, four games ago. And yeah. I thought it was just okay, let's see where this can build at. And it's been promising and promising. It's finally nice to see that in one of the young players that we picked up. Because again, we never know when we pick up young players, it's not these big names that you would know are like, oh, this guy's going to Europe and everyone's been trying to get him. It's these players that we take an unknown name, and then this is their opportunity to show, and he's showing exactly what he can do and will do moving forward.
Yeah, it's making sense, right? He's figured it out, and I'm beyond happy for him because he does fit now. He does give us some questions in the lineup, right? Which is a luxury, to be honest, in this league to know, well, I got options out there. It's fine. Personally, I got to say, I think we're going back to the 4-3-3. I think Dolo likes to keep things comfortable, familiar, especially in games like this. Back to basics, I think, is where his head's going to be at with this. So that's what I'm thinking. Now, midfield situation, like for us, it's going to be different. I think Tony and Araceli, they're looking at that 3-4-3. Does Jesus sit? Does Tillman sit? Araceli, go to you. Your midfield, what does it look like if you're going with that 3-4-3?
That's a tough one. I see Tillman potentially sitting and coming in as a sub.
Makes some sense. Of course, there's an offensive, well, thought is an offensive sacrifice for that. But at the same time, both Delgado and Jesus, they've hit some good long passes in that role if they sit back a bit. They've been able to ping the ball pretty well at times. So it would probably work. And of course, Hollingshead and Smolikov, I think you're both in agreement. Those are your outsides if that happens that way. They're not in agreement, right? Yeah. So Bam and I are kind of looking at that 4-3-3. Bam, you're three in the mid. Is it our classic three?
Yeah, it's got to be the classic three. It's Tillman, Jesus, and number eight. That's the way you got to go. They are normal three in there. If you do want to give him a bit of a run, so that way you can break it up and play 4-3-3 or 3-4-3 in transition, that's where you could put Smolikov in mid, and that way he'll be in there for Tillman. So it'll be Smolikov, Jesus, and a number eight.
Delgado, yeah, number eight. Interesting, he had an interview this week too, if you want to watch LAFC Weekly. Promoting this one a bit this week, that's for sure. Yeah, it was entertaining, I got to say. Now, top line situation, we've all agreed it's going to be three up there. Why wouldn't it be? Last game was Obobese, Dilrosan, and Bwanga. I got to say, I thought, again, Obobese created that goal, right? He got fouled. He broke free. Even when he wasn't on the field, when we brought in Wardas, he looked the part too. I mean, he looked strong once he got in there. He was really doing hard work out there. So it kind of, again, always raises questions, because every time where Dawes plays, it's like, yeah, he's the real deal. Every week he comes in, he's like, yeah, he's doing it. And it's hard to keep him off the field. So I go to you guys on this. Araceli, to you first. Who do you have as your front three this week?
Front three, I would have Bwanga, Obobese, and probably Dawes.
Okay. So Ordaz goes out wide.
Yeah, why not? Let's mix it up.
You know what, Bobis is not going out wide. He never goes out wide. We know where he's at. That's for sure. Bam, your thoughts on your top three?
Bobis is sitting. Straight swap him and Ordaz. So it'll be Bwanga, Ordaz, and
or Martinez.
DeRozan.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to see Martinez, but at the moment, DeRozan hasn't done anything to deserve him being put on the bench.
No, to me, DeRozan's actually had some decent passes coming in. He puts in the work. Creativity's there. It's there. That goes to you, Tony. Who's your three up top?
Of course, it's the unanimous position. He's not going to sit. He'll never sit. He'll take a major incident for him to sit. I'll take Del Rosen. Del Rosen has just been proving himself and been more comfortable in that winger role. And it's really a toss-up. Like, Igbobose, of course, could have had the goal in Minnesota. And again, Ordaz, the same thing. Ordaz is just the guy, and he's been the guy. So anything. So it's a toss-up between those two. So you can switch it too. It's like, it's hard to decide. It's more of like game day decision of who's feeling it more and who is the most ready for that. And then, of course, unfortunately for Martinez, he's just hasn't seemed to found the rhythm, and this could be the breakout game that he might need in the second half for him.
He's had a million chances to take it over, and the other guy did, right? It was him and Ordaz. You got to decide between the two, and Ordaz has been the one with the edge so far this year. That's how it is. Now, for me, it's hard, right? I think Dilrosan and Bwanga, yeah, those are your guys now. As long as you have Dilrosan in the lineup, he's going to play. He's going to play. But Bwanga, if you heard his comments today when they're talking about, oh, moves to other teams, he goes, "All I know is I want to play every 4 days." That was what he said. So you know what that means for him. So he's in there. It's that center, right? You have Jeremy Igbobose, who has wrecked the Galaxy in the past, not always in our colors, right? He's done some damage. He knows what to do with these guys. He knows how to handle these guys and who they have in their back line. He could definitely wreck the Galaxy, right? At the same time, Ordaz, we all here love the guy because he's like scrappy do. He goes in there, he puts the fight in. He's not afraid to get stuck in a game like this that you will get stuck in. He will play that part. He will find opportunities and he'll get the shot off. He always does against these guys. If he gets a chance against them, he can do this. So confidence either way. I'm torn on who I'd start in this one, honestly. I'm leaning towards Ordaz though, just because we need that little bit of an edge in the early stages. Let him tire those guys out. If he gets the goal he needs, cool. Bring in Igbobose second half, 60th minute, like we like to do. And you have a weathered back line for the Galaxy who has struggled to keep the ball out of the net. And now here comes Igbobose to close things out. I think that works. I do. I did see a couple comments from the faithful. Let's see if you guys got some. Who do you got for this one? Where are we at here? Let me see. Christian in the mix. Happy 400. Thank you, man. And he also says, right? Puppy power, scrappy do. Yeah. I mean, we all see him that way, especially if you went and watched him play for LAFC 2 before he got the regular role on the top side. Araceli can attest, man. Dude, pest vibes in all the best ways. That's not an insult. Like, dude, he's got that. You don't hear it in the stadium with the big crowd, but when it's quiet, Ordaz has a way, guys. And it's awesome to see. That's for sure. So there we go. Thank you, Christian, for that. Oh, and Christian also adds, Dillerson has to start. I like how quickly he's assimilated. He has. It's working now. You know, it's not a mistake or an accident that we've got the record that we have at the moment. He's fitting in more than others at the moment. Yes, ma'am.
Going on with that, are you guys happy if we permanently sign him?
I don't think we will, to be honest. I don't. This is a designated player contract. The only way that we're going to keep him is if we're not getting somebody big. If a splash isn't happening, then yeah, I think they'll re-sign him and just stick with him for the remainder of the season. But yeah, it's hard. It's MLS. He might be playing good for us, but is he a designated player level? That's a hard ask. What do you think, Tony?
It's a hard ask. It's like I know right now, I think if I remember right, Américo's paying his salary at the moment. So if that can continue, I would keep him, but I don't know, DP, I don't know.
It's tough. It's tough. Again, it's this league and on our cap rules. It always creates this situation. It shouldn't, right? You should just be able to buy the guy and be done with it. But yeah. Christian, otherwise known as Philly, aka Philly. Yeah, he's laughing because I keep calling him Christian. I mean, you change your own name on there, man. Sheesh. You listen and it's on you, dude. But,
like, I'll agree with the Pink Flamingo, not DP Money, but yeah, I would agree with him. Yeah, if we can buy his contract down and have him as a TAM, I would happily take him and all that kind of stuff. I think we've got some money to splash to be able to pay his transfer fee and all that kind of stuff. So I think if we can get him as a TAM player, 100%. DP, score a hat trick this against Carson, and maybe we'll talk about it.
I mean, a goal and an assist will be enough. you know, the dream for him, right? He gets a goal and an assist, and somehow, some way, number 8 puts one across the line, and that's a perfect world, right? Just 'cause. So, hey, we just got funky with that. What are you doing over there, Bam? all right, Christian. See, I did it again. He puts it on there, and I can do it. So, Philly, thank you, man. I love it, dude. Plink Flamingo, even better. You've got the man with many nicknames. That is for certain. But we love you for that. So there it is. All right. On that note, we don't ever predict matches. You know how that is. That ain't us. We will talk about what's needed, though, to get the result. And that is what we always cover. You see, Tony is nodding away. So guess what, Tony? Since you're nodding at this, what do we need from the boys to get this result? What do they got to do?
Pretty much a repeat of what we did against Minnesota, like that on another level. And if I think that just was all we pretty much need. It's again, focusing on our game and not what they need to do, but what we need to do. If the passing, the runs, the awareness of where everyone's on the field is doing well, then I feel we can come away with the pretty much, to say, the win to tie the series up.
Yeah, let's be honest, guys, we need it this year. We need it again. You gotta win at home anyways, people, but tie this thing up and move on after the fact. Araceli, what do they have to do to get the result tomorrow?
It's easy to say don't make silly mistakes, but I really want to say turn into a team of scrappy dudes because they need to get scrappy again.
No, a grind. It's a grind. It has to be a grind. You have to treat it like a grind. No doubt. Bam?
For me, the main thing is win that 50-50 ball. Don't step back. Step up. Make them make the mistakes. Just do what they've done to us the last couple of games. Pressure. Full pressure on them. Don't give them time. Put as much pressure as you can on them. And if it's a 50-50 ball, make sure you're the first one there.
Make your way through. Exactly. I'll add in this. We need to keep all 11 on the field. That's essential, right? When we play a team like this, nonsense happens. We know nonsense happens. Be smart about it. Don't fall about it. Fall into it. Dark arts are going to be real in this game. They're going to be all about the dark arts. They are desperate for a result against us. They need it. If they don't get it in this one, kiss it goodbye, right? They've got to win this game. So they're going to do every possible dirty thing they can. Watch out for Painsill in the diving. He's already been fined for it, right? A game ago, he got a fine for his nonsense. Well, guess what? Every time we play him, he spends more time on his back than on his feet. We've seen this when we were over there the last time. How many times is that guy hitting the ground for every little thing, crying, doing it? He's going to keep it up. Just don't fall for it. Don't get stuck in on this guy. He's going to look for that more than he's going to look for the beautiful play. It seems to be his focus when he plays us. So be smart about that thing. They've got weapons everywhere. We cannot get caught, especially our outside backs, in anything nonsensical. And then we can get this result. Simplify the game. Do the job and finish your opportunities, right? It's a simple part of the sport. But yeah, don't get suckered into that stuff because they're going to give it to us. Guaranteed. And we're not going to get the calls. Tony, do we normally get the calls in these games?
No. It's very rare. Very rare.
Very rare. So be smart, be mindful, get 3 points, make us all happy on the day. That for sure. All right. So on that note, episode 400 is wrapping up. I know 401 will be here soon enough. It's what we do. So tradition dictates our final thoughts before we get into a big match against Carson. I'm going to lead with Araceli for this one. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts for me, like every home game, just simple reminders of don't act stupid. Watch out for each other. Always have a plan B, whether that's Uber, a friend, or whatever. We all know how these type of games go, and we know what they could result in sometimes. So, again, I cannot emphasize on the watch out for each other part. But as for me, I won't be able to watch the game because, like I said earlier, I will be hitting the road in like 12 hours, actually. So I'll be down in Austin all week, basically. I'll be there for All-Star and then a little bit of vacation afterwards. So definitely report to you guys whenever I decide to come back.
There we go. Say hi to Buonga for us while he's there. So, yeah, we know one's going for sure. There it is. All right, I'll go to Tony first so he can go to bed as well. Final thoughts, my friend.
Final thoughts is be safe out there. Again, it's a crazy ass world we're living in. Have conversations. Again, at the end of the day, we need to keep the conversation going with everybody. Again, we live in this world together, and I feel like we've lost that sense of just like community is the best way to say it. So just keep having the conversations, even if you disagree, as long as, and just remember, you don't always have to agree on everything, but just to have that conversation to understand the other person and make sure people know where everything's coming from is the best opportunity. And again, drink responsibly, be safe out there, even though a lot of Carson supporters aren't coming to the game. It's still a derby. There's still people looking for fights, good or bad. So be careful. And we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.
There it is. Bright and early for some of you at that tailgate at 7 a.m. Nice, guys. Nice. All right, Bam. Final thoughts, sir.
Final thoughts. Again, like everyone says, be safe out there. Yes, it is a derby. Going by some of the social media stuff that we saw earlier today, I'm going to throw up this tweet that I saw because amazing. 100% agree with it. It's a nice little all my homies and rivals hate ice. That was at the thing today. So that I think we can all agree with. Yes, it is still a rivalry match. Yes, a lot of their fans aren't coming. I agree why they're not coming. I still dislike them, but for something like this, where it's bigger than football, you've got to respect it, plain and simple. Be safe out there. You know, it is a crazy time over there. It is hurting people mentally and all that kind of stuff. So again, mental health is important. It's one of the most important things you can ever look after. Without your mental health, your body cannot function properly. It cannot regulate itself and all that. So if you do need help, reach out. There are places for you to reach out, especially in the LA County Department of Mental Health. You can use them. Their services are on the helpline, 800-854-7771, or call, text, and chat to 988. It's there for a reason. Use it, because we all need mental health help at times.
Thank you. Bam doing it. I almost called him Tony. You love that? Thank you, Bam. I guess it leaves it to me, right? Episode 400, wrap this bad boy up, and I'll put it this way. Staying golden has always been something that we've said, we followed through with, we continue to follow through with. Now I require it from all of you. You're representing Los Angeles tomorrow, both on the field and off the field, against our rivals. Don't be that guy, right? That lets us all down and loses it for this thing. We need you all to be ready to go. Opening whistle, end whistle. Give everything you possibly can for this effort. The boys hear it. The boys love it. lead the way. Don't lose your heads before this thing. We need you to perform for this one. In terms of being careful, while their supporter group will not be officially in the stands, their supporters will probably still be in the area. So tie them up. Be smart about that. Don't lose your head. Don't get anything ridiculous. Get in and out of that stadium. Look out for each other and get home safe at the end of all of it. Hopefully we got that 3 points to celebrate on the way out. But again, you give your all. I know the boys will as well. And on that note, I am thankful for all of you, all 400 episodes of you guys supporting us through this. We're going to keep on going. That's for sure. Just like our club will always be forever faithful to you and them. Community is always number one. And on that note, it's time to say goodnight, everybody. Final word, Araceli.
Stay golden.
Tony.
Stay golden, Los Angeles.
Bam. Oh, he did it. Did you see it? He did it.
Stay golden.
Tiny windows. Thank you, sir. And from me to all of you, stay golden, Los Angeles.
Thank you for listening to the Heart of LAFC. Make sure to leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. Shoulder to shoulder, the black and gold is taking over.